WCAM, WBEE HD2, Rochester. And streaming online and in the Odyssey app at The Fan Rochester. The sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester. An Odyssey sports station.
242-3186, Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008 with hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-242-3186. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-242-3186.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
To live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment.
Unbelievable!
This is You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Scouting Combine is right around the corner. We were talking about the quarterbacks earlier. Pretty much every single one of them, aside from Fernando Mendoza, will be in Indianapolis next week for the Combine. A week from tomorrow, they will work out, the ones that are going to work out. I imagine that question is still up in the air, but every single quarterback in this class not named Mendoza will have something to prove. And those aren't the only one, obviously. Quarterback is the most talked about position, but there are plenty of guys who will be out there with something to prove. And one guy I love talking to about this kind of stuff, the Audibles and Analytics Substack is where you can find his stuff. Easy for me to say, the Read Optional Pod, the Bucks Edition Pod, the Yins Know Ball Pod. The man is obsessed with ball, football particularly. John Ledyard joins us now on You Better You Bet here on Westwood One Sports. Morning, John. Thanks for taking the time, man. How are you?
Absolutely, Chris. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're less than a week away from the Combine in Indy. And like I said, we talked quarterbacks earlier in the show. I'm more of a believer in, despite his track record in college, especially towards the end of his college career, I'm still a believer in Carson Beck. But there is that whole second tier of quarterbacks not named Mendoza in what is an otherwise underwhelming quarterback class. Let's start there before we start to deep dive into some of the other guys you want to keep an eye on next week. Who do you like the most on that second tier of quarterbacks? Who do you think has the best shot to actually have a career as an NFL starter of some sort?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I still think it probably is Ty Simpson. I'm going to keep grinding through the tape to see if there's any hidden gems that jump out of me. There always seems to be somebody late in the process at this position that starts to get some buzz that perhaps I haven't seen yet. But Ty Simpson, I think, is really talented. He makes some really good plays. I think the biggest question for him is just like going to be stuff that he probably won't be able to answer at the combine. But his biggest stuff is like the processing stuff when the picture changes post snap and he has to kind of adjust to a defense that looks different than it did before the snap. I think that's when he kind of freezes up, and some of that could come with experience, or maybe it just doesn't come at all. And then he's just, because that's the whole NFL, right? The defense is always moving post snap. So he could really just totally bust out because he can't process fast enough. But I do think that the tools are there. There's enough talent there, and he's kind of got some, he's got an edge to him, like a moxie to him. He'll make really, like, there's throws on tape that you're like, he probably shouldn't make that throw, and he riffs it in and tries to make something happen. So some of the decision-making stuff will need to come along with him too. But I think he's probably the guy. But, I mean, Drew Aller's somebody that's going to get more buzz, I think, as the process goes on. Just we do this with injury guys that we're going to dub with upside. And I'm not saying he has it. I'm not saying he doesn't. I just think the teams are going to convince themselves, you know, media people are going to convince themselves like this might be come back around on him. Well, he was once talked about as a top 10 guy. He's big. He's strong. He's a work ethic. The intangibles. Like, everybody's going to love the fact that he, like, wants to win so bad. He's going to say all the right things in the interview. So I would guess coming out of the combine, there'll be more buzz on Drew Aller if his health checks out.
What do you think of Mendoza? Like, what's the ceiling at the NFL level? I saw somebody this morning on a mock draft somewhere made a comparison to Jared Goff with more mobility. That seems a little high on his ceiling from my perspective, but what do you think?
I think he's probably got maybe a little bit more mobility than Jared Goff. It just more willingness to be mobile maybe than Jared Goff. Jared Goff's actually like decently mobile. You know, it's probably on the similar level to Mendoza. He's just so good within structure that we rarely get to see or have to see that part of his game. And he can't throw on the move. That's the biggest thing with Jared Goff is like when he has to throw on the move, that's when it gets really tough. So his whole game is basically about maxing out, not having to move. And so if Mendoza's able to get there, that's great, you know, but I think he is somewhere probably as a passer. He's probably hoping to be somewhere in the Jared Goff, Joe Burrow type of conversation where these guys are probably two of the more just like true pocket guys, true drop back, read the field, process in the blink of an eye, throw with anticipation, all that kind of stuff. Because I think his tools are just okay for the position probably, but his strengths are ball placement, accuracy, and then decision making. I think those are all strengths of his. Now, where he can get into trouble is there's way more pocket panic moments than Jared Goff has. And I think that that is going to be telling for him in the NFL. If he doesn't make it, it's just going to be because he panicked too much in the pocket. There's reps where he turns his whole back to the defense and tries to screen. And he can't play that way. He can't have bad process and get good results the way somebody like Lamar early in the career when he wasn't as developed as he is now as a passer, or you know, the way that some of these other guys have kind of Josh Allen, like where like the process wasn't good, but they can run around and make something happen and it still looks good in the end. And he can't play that way. So it's just going to be really important for him to be as clean as guys like Burrow and Goff are in the technical mental aspects of the position if he wants to be the best.
One of the best guys to follow if you want to stay up to date on what to expect in the NFL draft, at least what to expect from these players, especially where they may go, how they may look on Sundays. John Ledyard with us here on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM here on Westwood One Sports. Subscribe to his Audibles and Analytics Substack, as I have done. Follow him on X at Ledyard NFL Draft as well. Of the other teams that need quarterbacks, John, I'm thinking the Jets in particular, the Cardinals, the Dolphins, maybe the Steelers might be in the market as well. When is the sweet spot, you think, in this draft where they actually start to look at that position?
The Steelers specifically, or just any of those teams, I guess? Yeah,
any of those teams. Look, I don't doubt it. I never question what the Jets do, because you question everything with the Jets. Like, the Jets could draft a quarterback number two overall, and it wouldn't shock me because it's the Jets. But as far as those other teams go, like I mentioned, the Cardinals, the Dolphins, you can include the Steelers as well if you want. Is it a second-day look? Is it, no, we take a flyer on somebody on the third day? How do you think it'll shake out?
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like one or two guys always slide into the third round. You know, that's sort of what it seems like, at least, is like, you know, where it's gone traditionally. It's very hard to right now, I would say, just based off like value and how people feel about the class, there's probably only two guys in the top 100. But like I said, after the comp, I mean, nobody saw Dylan Gabriel going in the top 100. We have a guy like that almost every year where teams picking, you know, in the third round and they're like, all right, we're taking our swing now, because fourth rounders move a lot in trades too. So some teams don't have them. So if you feel like you need one, then you are getting pretty desperate at that point and you take one in the third round. But I mean, my guess right now, if you put an over under, I think we'd see three in the top 100, you know, maybe four, but you know, that would be kind of like where I would assume that this thing is heading just based on where the buzz is at right now. So things could change. Maybe we get higher than that, but that would be my guess. So, you know, I don't even know if it's necessarily those teams, to be honest. Like, if you're those teams and you're smart, you're thinking about building the rest of your roster for a guy that you think can be the guy someday. You're not thinking about, well, we have to take a flyer, you know, in a bad quarterback class with one of these third round picks. Like, that's a smart process team, I think, would see it that way. So, you know, some of these teams aren't going to have smart process. They're going to reach just because they want to get a flyer in the building. But my guess is the guy that gets taken in the third round, isn't going to be that different from the guy that gets taken in the fifth or sixth round. I think that was true last year. I think we're going to see a lot of that being true this year, too.
Not deep at quarterback, but it feels like this draft, is very deep at receiver. I've seen some mock drafts in particular have upwards of six receivers going in the first round. When you look at that group, just how deep is it? Are there six first round talents in this wide receiver group coming out?
No, definitely not. But it's a position that I think gets pushed up the board quite a bit, especially in a class that doesn't have like the other premium positions, right? You talk about quarterbacks in the first round. One, I mean, if somebody talks themselves into Simpson and gets crazy, maybe there's two. But, you know, that's less than normal. Offensive tackle, you know, clearly less than normal. I think at this point, like you're seeing guys get pushed into a conversation that the tape is just not warranting based on tools, but people are just way more comfortable with guys who've actually produced and played well in college, even if some of their game won't translate at a first-round level to the NFL. They're just more willing to say, hey, this guy was good. You know, where KC Concepcion was good, we're gonna take him in the first round because he actually like did good things on tape, even though there's questions about the NFL projection. So I think when you have a draft like this one where there's just not a lot of like – especially premier offensive players, there's just not a lot of talent. Like quarterback, offensive tackle, interior offensive line, even tight end, I think. Like there's in mid rounds, you're going to have some good options. I don't know high end in the draft. You know, Kenyon Sadiq is probably going to go there based on tools, but there isn't like any slam dunks. So these wide receivers, I think, who are just like a solid group probably are getting pushed up the board as a result. Now, I think that there's real talent, and I like Mekhi Lemon a lot. I like Carnell Tate a lot. I think that Jordan Tyson has a chance if he can just stay healthy and be on the field consistency. You know, if some of the edges of his games can be rounded out, he could be the most talented guy in the group. You know, there's guys later down the board, I think, that are exciting in roles specifically. But I wouldn't compare it to some of the better draft classes we've had at this position in the last 10 years.
John Ledyard with us here on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today on Westwood One Sports. Check out John's Audibles and Analytics Substack. Get subscribed. You could also check out the Read Optional Pod and the Yins Know Ball Pod. He's all over everything with the Combine next week in Indianapolis and then the draft, obviously, in late April. Who are some of the names that maybe aren't being talked about a lot right now, John, specifically on the defensive side of the ball? Because we get caught up in offense, flashy players, sexy names, all that, skill positions. Who are some of the guys on the defensive side of the ball that you go, okay, that guy's going to be a steal based on where maybe mock drafts have him going right now?
I'll give you two names so I don't belabor this too long with you. Of the guys I've watched so far, Keyshawn Elliott, Arizona State linebacker, I think is the fourth best linebacker in the class. He's typically right now being ranked close to like the 200s in on the consensus board. I think Dane Brugler just snuck him into his top 100 recently at like 87 or something. So maybe he'll start to get a little more attention now. But if you put on the tape of Keyshawn Elliott, he is a destroyer against the run. I mean, he just hammers people, but he's athletic enough to play in space too. He makes a lot of plays out on the edge of a defense. Good mental processor, good communicator, which is critical at that position. So he's one, I think, to me, after like the big three, what I would say Arvell Reese, Sonny Styles, and C.J. Allen, I would take him over the other guys who I think are, you know, there's some good options. I know this linebacker class is getting a lot of buzz, but I think there's more fatal flaws with the other guys than there are with Keyshawn Elliott. The other guy I'll say that I've just started kind of getting into, and so, you know, it's possible my opinion may fluctuate. I'm not quite as high on Elliott, but I think another Elliott, actually Bishop Fitzgerald, the safety from USC, like he's really interesting to me. I think that there's been a lot of attention given to other guys on that defense, and I understand that. But when you watch him play, he sort of reminds me actually a little bit of Hufanga in Denver, and just the fact that he flies around. He isn't like, I don't think he tests like an unbelievable athlete, but he just plays fast. He hits. He's real physical in the run game, and then in the pass game, he made a couple of really nice plays on the ball this past season. He is a transfer from NC State, and so he's another one that I'm like really intriguing to see what the combine measurables come at, because a lot of other guys are getting buzz at safety that I just haven't been convinced of based on the tape. But he's a really interesting one. The other one is Luis Moore, the safety from Indiana, who's probably going to have to play nickel in the NFL. He's real tiny. Maybe he's like Roger McCreary-like, ends up being in the NFL. But he has some good tape. When he's locked in, his tape is really, really good. But he's been in college for like 7 years. He's like 25 years old. So I'm not sure how that will affect the stock, although there are plenty of older prospects in this class. We'll see if that affects things. But considering he's probably going to go day three, we're probably talking about that type of a player. He's one on day three that I'd be interested in adding to the secondary room.
John Ledyard with us here talking NFL draft at the Combine just a week away in Indianapolis. A week from tomorrow, the quarterbacks will be working out. We love looking at mock drafts, John, because they give us an idea of how things may or may not go. They also give us a reason to sort of read the tea leaves, as it were. And when you see something change in a mock draft, especially amongst the big names, you go, I wonder what that means. And Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network dropped a new mock draft yesterday. And the most interesting part of it, for me anyway, was at the top of the draft, where we've seen Arvell Reese consistently go number two to the Jets over and over and over again. He had Reese all the way down at seven to Washington. Would that be a massive slide in your opinion? And what may be some of the negatives that would compel the Jets, the Cardinals, the Titans, the Giants, and the Browns to all pass on a talent like Reese?
Just being bad front offices, I think. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure. Like, there's just, I mean, it's, I don't know how anyone can watch Arvell Reese and not be wowed. Like, he is wow in every sense of it. Just the motor never stops. Very sharp mentally, despite being super young at a very mental position. Played multiple roles for Iowa State, all of which, by the way, translate directly to where NFL defenses are currently at. He can rush on third downs if you need him to, not even off the edge. I'm just talking about he can be a part of your pressure package. You can mug him up, and he can be a part of your pressure package. And there's probably going to be some bumps in the road if you're a pressure-based defense that moves a lot post-snap like there is for any rookie, but the guy's range and movement and fluidity and ability to tackle in space and his physicality, like he hammers offensive linemen. He is 6'4", 243 pounds. He moves like a defensive back. I just have no clue why anyone wouldn't consider him, to me, the best defensive, the best player in the class, but also, like, I don't know why anyone wouldn't consider him worthy of the top five pick. And the stuff about positional value is so goofy to me. Like, yes, I think he's an off-ball linebacker. He's such a freak. Maybe he could develop to an edge rusher, but I wouldn't play him there. I wouldn't draft him there because I think he's absolutely special as an off-ball linebacker. And if you're of a special off-ball linebacker, that guy transforms your defense. Like, I just think people don't understand the schematics of the game enough to, like, be criticized. Like, oh, he's a linebacker. Yeah, if you're drafting, like, just your run-of-the-mill linebacker in the top 10, then, yeah, that guy's not going to – there's a lot of guys that you can find like that for a cheaper cost. So that would be the argument there. But if you have a Fred Warner, like, transformational type of talent at that position, then, yeah, that guy is absolutely worth that value. And I just – it's hard for me to imagine watching Reese and not coming to that conclusion because everything about him is so special for that position. So I think he's absolutely outstanding, and I think teams, especially in this class, I mean – come on. Like, it's just silly to me why a team wouldn't draft him in the top five.
You make an interesting point there, John, that I want to expand on for just a second about positional value and how front offices and organizations get hung up on that. Well, we never draft this position this high or this at this spot. And running back is one of those. So Jeremiah Love, been pegged by a lot of people to go ninth to Kansas City. And I think that makes a ton of sense for them because they're in desperate need of a run game. But running back, I guess, Love is an exceptional athlete and an exceptional example of a college running back coming out. But is running back one of those positions where it's starting to make a little bit more sense to look in the first round? Or is this all just based on the individual talent?
Yeah, I think running back is the position that's the exception to kind of what I was just talking about, because that position is literally dependent upon other positions and the scheme of running the football to be successful. Like, you just saw this last class, right? Ashton Jeanty getting all this hype, Omarion Hampton getting all this hype, and then what's the best rookie running back? Kyle Manungai? Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, I just would never want to go into, because so much of the position is pass protection, which a lot of these guys are not great at in college. And even if they are in college, Travion Henderson was, the changes in the NFL, the volume of pass protection in the NFL, the volume of times you need to be in position to help the offense. I mean, Kenneth Walker might be the most talented talented back in the league than Bijan, and he has split carries his entire career because he can't do pass protection. Like, we're not getting the max value out of Kenneth Walker, even, who's as talented as it gets, but because he can't do the pass protection stuff. And so I think that position, I think it's two things. One, that position is different to me, and I would not take Jeremiah Love high, even though I think he's really good, because it's so dependent on lots of other things in order to be successful. Now, if the Chiefs take him and they have those other things in place, that could work, obviously. I just think they could also get that with somebody they would take later in the draft or in free agency. So that's why I wouldn't spend a premier pick on a player at that position. The only exception I'd make is if they're just exceptional, Christian McCaffrey level in the pass game, like where you can design your passing offense like San Francisco has off of Christian McCaffrey as an option route runner, and then he makes everybody else in the pass game better. Oh, and by the way, he's an elite pass protecting back too. Like, that to me is a different story, because then he affects every single down that he plays in. And so that's where I would kind of see the difference. But to me, that's the only position in football that's so dependent on other positions when it comes to just purely running the football, that I would be really hesitant to take that one top 10. All these other positions we talk about, like linebackers, the reason why people have talked about devaluing them is because there's hardly any elite ones, not because the position doesn't matter. They just say, well, you know, linebacker 5 and linebacker 30 are fairly similar to each other. And I would agree. I think there's a lot of guys that fill in that role in today's NFL. But if you have a guy that's linebacker 1-4 or 1-5, you know, then that guy is absolutely Zach Bond is pivotal to the Eagles winning the Super Bowl a year ago now. So I just think that's the fundamental difference between the position groups, that one is just too dependent on other things to be successful, whereas linebacker isn't. There just is no difference between a lot of the guys in the league. But if you can get a top guy, that guy's pretty transformational to your group.
John, great stuff, man. Love talking to you ahead of the combine next week. And obviously we'll catch up again before the draft. Check out the Audibles and Analytics Substack and everything else John has going on. Follow him on X at Ledyard NFL Draft. Thanks for the time. Enjoy the weekend and enjoy the combine next week, John.
Absolutely, Chris. Thanks for having me, man. Always appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. I love the insight, man. Like I said, I've subscribed to that Audibles and Analytics Substack. If you are into the nitty-gritty scouting report level details, John's got them all on there. I mean, scouting reports on position groups, individual players, position rankings, big boards. I mean, it's all there. The guy knows ball, and that's why I love having him on to talk draft and personnel, especially with the combine coming up next week. And then before you know it, free agency will be here and it'll be draft time as well. Great stuff from John. Coming up next, could we get double gold in Milan for the U.S. Olympic hockey teams? Megan Keller made history yesterday for the women. Can the men follow it up? And that goal she scored in overtime to beat Canada for the gold got us to thinking about other legendary moments in sports and how that one stacks up. That's all next on You Better You Bet right here on Westwood One Sports.
Arizona, number 2 Houston, a top 5 showdown with March-level intensity. Tomorrow at 3 Eastern on Westwood One and the Westwood One Sports app.
Navy Federal Credit Union can help you dominate debt with the Platinum Card. Transfer your credit card balance to the Platinum Card within your first 60 days and get a 0% intro APR for 12 months. Our members could save thousands of dollars over the promo period. Visit NavyFederal.org/platinum. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission.
Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. After the intro rate expires, variable APRs are 10.24% to 18% based on credit worthiness. Rates are subject to change. ATM fees for cash advances are up to $1 at non-Navy Federal ATMs. Offer ends 3/31/2026.
DQ presents the Spicy Menu. For a limited time, try the new Flamethrower Chicken Strip Basket for $6.99 with spicy bold strips that heat you up. Served with a side of famous DQ soft serve as a dip to cool you down. That's right, dip those spicy chicken strips right into soft serve. Plus fries and toast, all for just $6.99. And add a new pineapple lemonade sparkler or cooler made with tahini. It's the limited time only Spicy Menu. Get it delivered in the DQ app. Happy? Tastes good. Participation may vary.
Download to see if you qualify. Not all customers will qualify. Transfer fees may apply. No Albert subscription required. Albert is not a bank. Albert instant loans are issued by Finwise Bank, member FDIC. Not an actual client. Terms apply.
Kylie, what's wrong?
I just got hit with a car repair bill. I'm behind on rent, and I feel like I can never save any money.
Have you tried the Albert app? Albert is your financial assistant, helping you find ways to save and create custom budgets to actually grow your money. Plus, you can get up to $10,000 for big expenses or advance up to $1,000 fast when you need cash right away.
Albert can get me up to $10,000?
Exactly. Albert spots you in a pinch and helps you grow your money in the long run.
I'm downloading Albert right now.
Download the Albert app and use promo code PLAN to borrow up to $10,000 for whatever you need. The Albert app helps you budget better and save more money so you reach your financial goals faster. Download the Albert app right now and use promo code PLAN. To borrow up to $10,000, use code PLAN to borrow up to $10,000.